This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Sure, why not? There is no time to dwell. None at all. Just when you think it's going to be a quiet week for content dropping, you line it all up and there's absolutely feckin' shed loads. You're going to need about 3 bleeding TVs this Christmas to catch up on everything. So, without further ado, shall we begin?
There's something wrong with the TV. It's all messed up.
I wonder what that means.
Well, what could it mean? It could be over in a couple of hours.
You know something? I'm sure this will turn out to be a big nothing.
We'll look back on this one day and laugh, I guarantee you.
I think that ship is heading towards us.
Holy.
What does that mean?
We shouldn't speculate.
Haven't you been picking up on what's going on out there?
I don't want to panic over nothing. I don't think this is nothing.
First up this week, and 1,000,000,000% top of my to-view pile this week, Leave the World Behind on Netflix is a psychological post-apocalyptic thriller written, directed and produced by the absolutely fab and amazing Sam Esmail, who gave us the epic Mr. Robot. Ah, Mr. Robot. It's based on the 2020 novel of the same name by Roman Alam, and it stars Julia Roberts, Mahershala Ali, Ethan Hawke, Mihala Harold and Kevin Bacon. A family on vacation in Long Island is interrupted by two strangers bearing news of a mysterious blackout. As the threat grows more imminent, both families must decide how best to survive the potential crisis, all while grappling with their own place in this collapsing world. Exploring issues of race and class, the paranoia and tension builds throughout the movie. And well, I'm not going to lie, as I said, Friday night, vino, salty snacks. Leave the World Behind on Netflix. You had me at oh no.
What up, Adirondacks? Listen up, squad, gang. Maybe zip it. Can we just get you guys to shoot?
Oh, what a beautiful
morning. Oh, that was dope.
Welcome, auditioners.
You guys are so talented, so unbelievable. This will break you. This will fully destroy you.
Congratulations on being the most talented kids at camp.
Theater Camp, which was in cinemas earlier in the year, finally lands on Disney Plus, and the world rejoices. So you should. This musical, which stars Ben Platt, Molly Gordon and Ayo Edebiri, follows a group of friends and drama instructors at a camp in upstate New York who must do everything they can to save their thespian paradise from being closed down. This is, hands down, without a doubt, one of the funniest movies of the year. It'll definitely be making my top 10 list of the year. It's awkward cringe comedy. It's a wonderful piece of cinema, and now you get to enjoy it at home and think, no, they did not just say that. It's an absolute gem. I cannot, I repeat, recommend it enough. Theatre Camp is now streaming on Disney Plus. And if that wasn't good enough for you, it's all about the cinema releases popping onto streaming this week. Over on Prime Video, another one of the best movies of the year that very few people saw, unfortunately. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, a coming-of-age comedy drama based on the beloved 1970 novel by Judy Blume, has also landed, and yes, that is also an absolute treat. All you need to know is that this one comes to us from the same director who gave us the amazing teen drama Edge of 17, and like that, this is a teen classic also, and absolutely worth your time too. Love this movie so much. Also, possibly may make it into my top 10 for the year. Ooh, we'll have to wait and see. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, is now on Prime Video. And the hits keep on coming as another recent cinema release and actually a decent robot reboot for the franchise, despite its poor box office performance. Transformers Rise of the Beasts is now available on Paramount Plus. In this one, the Autobots are faced with a new faction of Transformer known as the Maximals, who join them as allies in a battle, yes, to save the Earth. Optimus Primal is pretty cool, and Pete Davidson does the voice of the standout Transformer Mirage. Anthony Ramos takes over the human lead, and yeah, it's pretty decent. And after a few crappy Transformer movies, at least this one finds the franchise getting back on track. From the same guy who gave us Bumblebee, you can tell there's a bit more heart. There's a bit more heart in this one. So that is Transformers Rise of the Beasts, which is now on Paramount Plus. And finally, in the was in the cinema, nobody saw it category, for music lovers out there, or more particularly album cover lovers, the documentary Squaring the Circle is now on Netflix. This is the story of the album art design studio Hypnosis, who created some of the most iconic album covers of all time, from Pink Floyd to Led Zeppelin to 10cc and beyond. Directed by Anton Corbin. Again, if you're an old school music lover, especially of a certain vintage, then Squaring the Circle, the story of Hypnosis, is 100% for you, and is now on Netflix.
Lennon was walking in, and this kid says, "John Lennon."
John was laying straight out like that.
No movement, nothing.
This guy just shot John Lennon.
The alleged killer is Mark David Chapman. David Chapman is a photographer from Hawaii.
Why have you never spoken about
it? I just didn't want any trouble. But time's passed.
He actually apologized to us. He said, "Gee, I'm sorry, I ruined your night." And I says, "You gotta be kidding me. You just ruined your whole life."
John Lennon's death at the hands of Mark David Chapman on December 8, 1980 is being explored in a new Apple TV Plus documentary, John Lennon: Murder Without Trial. People in Lennon's life and who were involved in the case will talk for the first time on camera, attempting to explore the reasons why Chapman committed the assassination. Kiefer Sutherland narrates this three-part docuseries, which is not so much a whodunit, but more of a whydunit, as Chapman chose to stand around and wait to be arrested rather than run away. Both a heartbreaking and fascinating observation of both the light and dark sides of celebrity, John Lennon: Murder Without Trial is now on Apple TV+. And another docuseries we have this week coming from Netflix is World War II From the Front Lines, which is narrated by John Boyega and gives off very similar vibes to Peter Jackson's 2018 documentary They Shall Not Grow Old. If you love your war or historical documentaries, oh, have we got the one for you. And if that whole colourisation thing that's all the rage in books and TV these days is your jam, yep, this is a must-see. So that is World War II From the Front Lines, which is now on Netflix. And coming from Paramount Plus, Geddy Lee asks, "Are bass players human too?" sees Rush's bass player Geddy Lee interview some of music's most renowned bass players, including Metallica's Robert Trujillo, former Nirvana bassist Chris Novoselic, Primus bassist and vocalist Les Claypool, and former Hole Smashing Pumpkins bassist Melissa Ofdemore, and also takes a look at some of their extracurricular activities outside of bass playing. Cause yes, they are human too. So that is another one for the music geeks and nerds out there. That's Geddy Lee Asks, "Are Bass Players Human Too?" which is now on Paramount Plus.
My whole life was in New York. But now I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere without my family.
Hi, I'm Jackie Howard, and I just moved here.
Jackie, I know coming here is hard for you, and I cannot begin to imagine what you're going through since the accident happened.
We're gonna look out for her. She's a part of our family now.
Jackie's landed in boy heaven.
You're like the luckiest girl in this whole school.
My Life with the Walter Boys on Netflix comes from the folks behind The Kissing Booth. Ah, so sweet. And is your classic teen fish-out-of-water drama based on the novel by Ali Novak. Jackie Howard is a 15-year-old New Yorker who loses her family in a tragic accident and is forced to relocate, oh, to the middle of nowhere, aka Colorado. Cue rural life shenanigans, horses, mean girls, and of course, hot boys. There's always hot boys, and there's always two of them, and the dilemma of which one to choose. Boat? Why not boat? You know who you are out there. I know you're listening. If hokey YA drama is your thing, then all 10 episodes of My Life with the Walter Boys is now up on Netflix just for you.
Dixon, this is Granger. What are you doing?
Get control of Alpha now!
Seven murders on Scottish soil.
We need to visit the base in Woodyard. But you're okay with it?
Well, I'm not due for another 2 months and you put me on this case.
You'll love Woodyard. Nobody tells the truth there either.
Somebody told him what we were doing here. Find out who.
We're all suspects.
Yes, of course we are.
In Vigil Season 2, which returns on Sunday, December 10th on BBC One, we have swapped out the submarine of last season and replaced it with drone warfare. As DCI Amy Silva, played by Saran Jones, and DCI Kirsten Longacre, played by Rose Leslie, attempt to catch the killer. Coming from the creators of Line of Duty, Season 1 was a bit of crack, absolute nonsense, but I did enjoy it. And despite the somewhat underwhelming trailer for this one, this is your Sunday night viewing booked up for the next few weeks. Sure, why wouldn't you? That is Vigil Season 2 on BBC One every Sunday from December 10th.
Diane, meet the tailor.
You've done well there, old man. I thought she was your carer.
Yeah, it's nice to see you too, Jeff.
Listen, Julie, I think this one's your lot.
Well, we're all going to the same place.
I told them to take the first one.
We can just follow in the one-foot fight.
Jeff.
You're joking, right?
Bloody hell. Bloody hell.
I'm sorry, but who on earth would book to stay in a place like this?
Berg, Schaff, Schaffberg. Well, it's almost right.
I have got an incredible sense of deja vu.
Your Christmas or Mine, which was a half-decent and quite enjoyable Christmas movie last year, is back with a sequel. Yes, the sequel you didn't know you needed on Prime Video, with its originally titled Your Christmas or Mine 2. Again, young couple James, played by Asa Butterfield, and Hayley, played by Cora Kirk, prepare for their second Christmas together with family, and yes, in classic switcheroo fashion, it all goes horribly wrong from day one. As I said, it's pretty decent Christmas fare, you know, better than most. And sure, why wouldn't you? Feck it, get in there. That is Your Christmas or Mine 2, which is now on Prime Video. And also on Prime Video for those American sports ball fans out there, the docuseries Coach Prime returns for its second season as it follows Deion Sanders, nicknamed Primetime, head coach of the Jackson State University Tigers, on and off the field as they embark on another season of college football. If it's behind-the-scenes madness and insights into the world of the college game in the US, well, here you are, with cameras everywhere. That is Coach Prime Season 2, which is now on Prime Video. Looking after the smallies this week again, it's another good week for the smallies. We have three absolute crackers for them to enjoy, and you never know, some older folks may also be taking a peek at these wee little gems.
Wow. Yes, this is it then. To think this might be their last night before they leave this world forever.
Following the release of the movie The Mountain King, which serves as a nice little setup for this third and final season, Hilda returns to Netflix for one last hurrah in Trollburg. Unlike previous seasons, this one only has 8 episodes, of which the finale is a cracking 70 minutes long. I've always been a massive fan of Luke Pearson. I've adored his Hilda graphic novels from the moment I came across them at work. I was like, they're just a perfect gift for kids 7 plus and cool hipsters everywhere. If you love a bit of Miyazaki and Ghibli. Hilda is wonderfully voiced by Bella Ramsey. And yes, the series captured the zaniness, the beauty, the stunning creatures, the dreamlike qualities of those books. And I fully expect it to leave us on the most high of highs. So what should fans of the show do next? You know what? Maybe go out and buy them the graphic novels from your local little bookstore if you haven't already, and let them experience where it all started for our feisty and adventurous little friends. But if you've done that, maybe buy them some blue hair dye. Anyways, Hilda, the third and final season, Happy Times, Sad Times, is now on Netflix. Silent night,
holy night. What's up, roomie?
Get ready.
It's Christmas Eve.
Have you been good the last year?
Not exactly naughty.
But definitely gross.
For the naughtiest.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
A bunch of times.
Nicest.
What could be better than being snowed in with your family for the holidays?
Wimpiest.
I think my freckles might have frostbite.
Do not make eye contact.
Christmas ever.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Christmas Cabin Fever on Disney Plus is the seventh installment in the franchise and the third of which is animated and based on the sixth book in the Wimpy Kid series. Ooh, say that with a fruit pastille in your mouth. Oh my god. Anyway, in this one, Greg Heffley struggles to be good over the holidays because him and Rowley, they just can't help themselves and he's in danger of being put on the naughty list and not getting the video game system he desires so much for Christmas. Yet, when he and his family are snowed in and have to spend time together, things seem to start taking a turn for the better. Or do they? Do they? I do love me a bit of Jeff Kinney, and these animated versions are all the crack. So bring it on. Smallies will adore it. That's Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Christmas Cabin Fever, now on Disney+.
Merry Christmas, Gotham City.
In breaking news, Gotham is officially crime-free as Batman continues to clean it up.
Dad, I'm ready to be a superhero like you. Woo-hoo!
Merry Christmas, kiddo.
My own utility belt!
Which should only be used in case of a bat emergency.
Oh, come on, Dad, I'm not a baby.
Hey, I never said you were a baby.
Emergency! Call for help! My precious little baby is in danger.
In Merry Little Batman on Prime Video, little Damian Wayne confronts a rogues gallery of supervillains in Gotham after finding himself home alone over Christmas at Wayne Manor. Luke Wilson provides the voice of Bat-Dad, and James Cromwell does a decent Alfred in the seasonal animated cracker that will defo appeal to nerds of all ages. All ages indeed. So that is Merry Little Batman, which is now on Prime Video. And rounding off this week's streaming, we head to our international corner, our international language corner, and begin with The Archies, which is on Netflix. And definitely this one fits into the what the actual factor this week. The Archies is a live-action musical comedy reimagining of the Archie comics set in 1960s India. Teen heroes Archie and the gang navigate romance, friendship and the future of Riverdale as developers threaten to destroy a beloved park. So yes, if Riverdale India is your mood this week, then The Archies on Netflix is just for you. However, if French crime thrillers are more of your thing, then Blood Coast on Netflix should scratch that itch. Featuring a group of police officers who operate in unorthodox ways and their attempt to track down a dangerous criminal in order to prevent Marseille from plunging into a bloodbath, this series promises all the violence and thrills associated with top-notch French drama. Some would say with its ragtag group of misfits, Les Chevaux Lents would be an appropriate description for this one. Yes, that was a poorly phrased French joke. Oh, terrible stuff. All six episodes of Blood Coast are now up on Netflix. And finally for streaming this week, High Tide is another teen drama series, but this time from Belgium. It is set over a tense summer on the Belgian coast, where a wealthy friend group face adulthood's harsh realities while grappling with love and societal expectations. Coming across like a Flemish Outer Banks, High Tide is now on Netflix. And that's your streaming for the week. Not shed loads, but little nuggets everywhere. So, yeah, start piling them up for your Christmas viewing because it's getting rough, people. It's getting rough out there. Right, time for us to look at this week's cinema.
Ladies and gentlemen, greetings to you all. My name is Willy Wonka.
You see, I'm something of a magician. Prepare to be amazed.
Tape up.
Inventor.
May I present Willy Wonka's wild and wonderful wishy-washy Wonka Walker? Please don't make me say that again.
And chocolate maker.
best chocolate in the world.
Ooh.
He's good.
Too good.
And anyone can afford them. Even the...
The poor?
He doesn't like it when people say poor.
Wonka, which is now in cinemas, is an origin story of everyone's favourite, slightly creepy chocolatier. Directed by Paul King, who co-wrote the screenplay with Simon Farnaby, and based on a story by King himself, despite some fairly meh trailers to date, should we ever have really doubted the man who gave us the Paddington movies? Oh! Timothy Chalamet plays the young Wonka in this new musical, and when I say musical, I mean full-on West End Broadway-style musical trout. I mean, all singing, all dancing. Willie is trying to set up his dream sweet shop, but has to compete with a trio of shady characters from the Chocolate Cartel, who run the town, played here by Patterson Joseph, Matt Lucas and Matthew Bainton. These dastardly villains are classic doll, with Patterson Joseph as Arthur Slugworth being quite exceptional. Keegan-Michael Key as the Chief of Police gets a big role in every way and is a delight. And Rowan Atkinson is at his face-grinning best as the sketchy local priest, Father Julius. Olivia Colman hams it up as a wicked landlady, but possibly a bit too much. And of course, Hugh Grant represents our introduction to the Oompa Loompas. Alas, if you have seen the trailers, that's all you're really going to see of our small little blue friend, as he is underutilized and barely present within the movie. Maybe he's been set up for a bigger role in the sequel, but whether this actually happens and whether we get that sequel will depend a lot on the tricksy box office ahead. Whoa, let's see. It does look quite stunning. The various magical sweets are great. Chalamet is zany, but possibly too zany, and he's no Gene Wilder, as this is a direct prequel to his story, and we never really get to see the darker, weirder side of Wonka that we met in the original movie. But maybe that's because he became quite jaded and possibly a bit too dark. Sadly, for a movie with songs written by Divine Comedy's Neil Hannon, they do not tick any boxes. They're quite middle of the road, ho-hum, and yep, instantly forgettable. So that was a disappointment for me. But if you are looking for a big holiday movie for all the family over the Christmas period, well, in fairness, you can do no wrong. While it's dark in places in typical doll fashion, ultimately it's a madcap caper that looks gorgeous and will have you ploughing into the snacks throughout. While not at Paddington levels, it's still a wee little cracker. A wee little cinema cracker for the family, despite it not being actually Christmas in the movie. So that's Wonka, which is now in cinemas. Please Don't Destroy, The Treasure of Foggy Mountain is a new comedy film written by and starring the New York comedy troupe Please Don't Destroy, consisting of Martin Herlihy, John Higgins and Ben Marshall, who also appear on Saturday Night Live. In the film, a fictionalised version of the group searches for a lost treasure that they had initially been searching for as kids. The movie also stars Bowen Yang, Meg Stalter and Conan O'Brien. And sadly, that is all I've got for you. This is one of those classic TV sketches stretched out into 90 minutes, which has so many more misses than hits when it comes to landing those comedy punches. I'm not even going to bother with the plot of this movie. That would be a quite pointless exercise. It's an absurd trip to the cinema. I'm still totally confused as to how it even got a cinema release. But what can you do? If this was on streaming, I'd still be shouting sketch, possibly avoid. Yes, sad but true, Riz, this movie is not. Or whatever the kids say. Consider me unmoved. That's Please Don't Destroy, The Treasure of Foggy Mountain, unbelievably now in cinemas. And finally this week in cinemas, The Peasants is a Polish adult animated historical drama which uses the painted animation technique last seen in Loving Vincent. Set in a late 19th century Polish village, this town is a hotbed of gossip, ongoing feuds, held together by pride, tradition and a deep-rooted patriarchy. Our lead character, Jagna, attempts to choose her own path in this stifling world, but finds herself caught between the conflicting desires of the village's richest farmer, his eldest son, and the other leading men in the community. So if, you know, quality Polish arty movies are your jam, well, The Peasants is now in cinemas. And that is your movies for the week. Yeah, I'm going to say intriguing is the word to describe that bunch. I'll just let you decide what you go to see. What else we got for you? Oh, yes. Music. You know me. I love a bit of music. And every now and then, there's an album released that just, woo, gets me pumped and ready for action. Are you serious? I try, but I can't figure out. I've been next to you all night, I still don't know what you're about. You keep talking, but not much coming out your mouth. Can't you tell that I want you? I say, yeah. Yes, yes, Canadian pop singer Tate McRae returns with her second album, and it's called Think Later, and this feels like the moment when it all kicks off big time for Tate. This one's guaranteed to come with a strong mix of bangers and ballads. Who doesn't love a mix of bangers and ballads? And I'm well over it, as you know. She's due in the Olympia Theatre in 2024, so I do believe that will be quite a sweatbox that night. Yeah. Very excited. That's Tate McRae with Think Later, which is now streaming wherever you get your music. Other releases this week, just doing a quick hit and run. Alison Goldfrapp releases her debut solo album, The Love Reinvention. And rapper Nicki Minaj returns with Pink Friday 2, which is her fifth studio album. So, yeah, all sorts of pop tunage out there. While for folks of a certain vintage, you know, we got to look after those certain vintage folks. Neil Young returns with his 45th studio album. What the actual? Are you kidding me? Before and After is a collection of 13 songs from his past career, played simply by Mr. Young and his acoustic guitar. So that's kind of cute. That's Neil Young with Before and After. And finally, after almost 20 years since Hot Fuss was released, The Killers bring out a brand new greatest hits album called Rebel Diamonds, which, love them or hate them, this will also contain some decent bangers on there, along with a few exclusive tracks. You know me, I love my bangers. Anyway, that's your music for the week. Now, yeah, let's take a quick look at three things we noticed in pop culture this week. So first up, Hollywood Industry Insiders confirmed this week that The Accountant 2 is now a go, with Amazon producing the film. Gavin O'Connor will return to direct, with Ben Affleck reprising his role as Christian Wolf, the genius money laundering accountant. Released in 2016, the first movie was critically acclaimed and financially successful. But then Warner said, nah, we don't want any more of your proposed trilogy. Well, now that Amazon have stepped in, possibly based on their success with Mr. Affleck and Air earlier in the year, it looks like we'll be getting that trequel after all. Yeah, so, and you accountant heads out there, I know, it just sounds so dull, but it's actually a good movie, I really enjoyed it. Next up, in a bizarro move that may be welcomed by some, but seen by others as an attempt to put lightning back in the bottle, Disney have announced that in 2024, they will be releasing their, shall we call them, Pixar pandemic movies, which they threw under the bus, or shall I say, onto Disney Plus in the cinemas. From January, Soul, Luca and Turning Red will finally get their day on the big screen. But is it too little too late, as parents now seem to be used to watching Pixar on Disney Plus? Or will it be a successful preamble before the release of the supercharged Inside Out 2 in July? The gap in the studio's release schedule due to the strike has been hinted at as another reason for this move. Currently only down to occur in the US, it feels quite likely that this will also be a worldwide strategy for Disney and Pixar. So, yeah, they are cracking movies. So, yeah, one or two of them I definitely would go see in the big screen. But, that's all I'll say. And finally, this week, as a result of the recent strike, we will have a much longer wait than expected for some returning and new shows. Sex and the City spin-off, and Just Like That, Season 3, will now not be released until 2025 due to the delays, along with Daredevil Born Again, which probably is more to do with the fact that it was scrapped and is being shot all over again. But now that's gone to 2025. And saddest of all for me, Andor Season 2 is also now delayed and is looking like a 2025 release. I'm not even going to dwell on the fact that The Last of Us Season 2 and White Lotus, the third version or holiday, are also 2025. Oh, sweet Lord. Sad times. Sad, sad times. 2024. Oh boy, they better dress up that tumbleweed because it's going to get a lot of press in certain months throughout the year. And there you go. There are your three things. There's your streaming. There's your cinema. Bit of music. Crap weather. What more do you want? You've plenty to do while wrapping those presents or panic buying online or heading out. No, why would you head out? It's absolutely muck out there. With that, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast. Wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Oh, you caught me off guard. I was stretching. Well, hello there. Hello there, my post-credit traveler. How are we doing? Welcome. Welcome yet again. Da-da-da-da-da. Yes, a home for truths. Truths that no one wants to discuss. Maybe no one wants to hear. But they're here. Rambling tales. Meandering even stories. And have I got a story for you? A scary story. A story of reaching for the stars and failing absolutely miserably. Because sadly today we have to discuss. Because you know me. I love my box office numbers. And the time has come. Oh sweet lord. We have to discuss the Marvel's box office performance. Oof. Oof, you may need to sit down for this one. Originally quoted as having a trim and healthy budget of $130 million, this kind of went off a cliff pretty recently when Forbes revealed that the actual cost of the movie was between $250 and $275 million. Oh my god. And that's without the marketing spend of also $100 million. Oh, for feck's sake, all those reshoots. Why? Why did you do it? Basically, what we're saying now is it's already dead in the water at the worldwide box office. And having only taken in $196 million worldwide, which is now the lowest ever box office for an MCU movie, it doesn't even have a chance of catching the Hulk with Ed Norton. What the I don't know. We're talking possible losses to Disney and Marvel of nearly $250 million. Like, that's not good, folks. And this is a year that included bombs such as Indiana Jones, Quantumania, The Little Mermaid, Haunted Mansion, and even Poor Ol' Wish, which itself could end up losing nearly $200 million. Oh boy, 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 boy. With all these failing miserably at the box office, and with the double damage of all being hugely expensive movies, poor old Disney must be thinking, can we please get the hell out of 2023? Like, feck off. We never want to see you again, my friend. It's gotten so bad. And this is how bad it's got, folks. The Marvels, despite still being in cinemas, Disney this week announced that they will no longer be reporting the box office numbers. This is a quite a rarity, and kind of shows where the top brass, where their heads are at, as regards, just put your head in the sand, and let's just pretend the movie's not still in cinemas and making some kind of money. Let's just not tell anybody. It's like, oh. So yes, 2024 sees Marvel with only one release in the cinema, which is Deadpool 3, and assuming they can keep the production under control, please God, they've learned that lesson. This, you know, maybe one release is a good thing, because they need a bit of a smash. They need a bit of a, you know, out of the ballpark. And as I said, some people will call it superhero fatigue. I will call it, just make a decent movie, lads. Just make a decent movie. Speaking of Deadpool 3, poor old Ryan Reynolds had to come out on Insta and his various socials pleading with people to stop spoiling Deadpool 3 because they're filming in, they're not using green screen. They're filming in real life locations, I suppose you'd call them. And these people with super, super zoom cameras are catching all the kind of guest stars, and the scoopers are literally telling people everybody who's appearing. I'm not going to tell you anybody. We know one or two of them, but I'd rather be surprised. Like, you know, it's getting a bit like Spider-Man when everybody knew the three lads are in it, even though the studio denied it. Anyway, poor old Ryan was like, can we all please just get along and stop talking about my movie? Because we want it to be fun for everyone. And I think it will be fun. Unless the budget goes mad and it's a disaster. But anyway, there you go. I told you it was an interesting week of nonsense. And yeah, 2023, Disney, walk away. Don't look behind you. It's gone. It's nearly gone now. You're nearly there. Right, off we go now. Time for a little earworm. Little earworm to send you away. I don't know if this one's an earworm, more of a what in God's name is happening. It can only be Kneecap. Kneecap, the Belfast Irish language rap trio, like angry rap, whatever you want to call them, confirmed to have their world premiere of their new movie at Sundance, the Sundance Film Festival. Woo! Next year, and Michael Fassbender is in the movie, and they've also got their debut album, so big year ahead, and they're also playing two nights in the Olympia next week, so I thought, do you know what, feck it, who doesn't want a bit of Osqueelga mixed in with a bit of Birla Nordy rap in their lives, so yeah, send you off with the slightly ominous and scary Kneecap and their song, Your Sniffer Dogs Are a Shite. Yep.
Call me Makara, I look a celeb, I got a Mara. I haven't been a scumbag in years, Mr. Garda. I just wanna have a few beer, Mr. Garda. And I swear I haven't got any gear, Mr. Garda. It's Jack Lum, I'm a dance, I'm a fool, Rishi Land, dub pills, half grand. Thought you looking stage one, fucking her beach man. Fuck the police man, Makara, sure a gear, sure a custard key son.
Jack, tree cag, more cacked, smaller, and he bought your back. Skim more hour, just relax. Show more attach it, just the facts. Dini, ogre, contacts. 20.